This resource has been made available to you by Religious Affections Ministries. For more resources, including articles, books, and podcasts, visit www.religiousaffections.org.
This is Scott Annual, and I'm here with Michael Riley, a good friend of mine. He received his undergrad in Bible from Bob Jones University, Master of Divinity from Detroit Seminary, and is just about getting ready to begin his dissertation for a degree in apologetics, a PhD at Westminster Theological Seminary. We're going to discuss today the issue of Christian rap, whether or not the medium of hip-hop can be used for Christian purposes. The reason that I wanted to raise this issue, a number of reasons. Number one, Mark Dever, who is a quite conservative evangelical pastor in the D.C. area, did an interview with Shai Lin and Curtis Allen on this issue and asked the question, can rap be Christian? And came to the conclusion that yes, it can be. And we have other pastors and influential leaders promoting the Reformed rap movement, including John Piper. Desiring God Ministries just recently, this past month in February, sponsored a Hip Hop for Haiti concert and has also had Curtis Allen into his church. And so I think it's an important question that we should ask. I know of many pastors and leaders who are wrestling with this issue, even those who would consider themselves conservative or within a heritage of fundamentalism, who are really asking the question, can the medium of rap, of hip-hop, be used for Christian purposes? Let's just discuss first, Mike, what is the predominant culture of hip-hop right now? Does that really have anything against it in terms of using it for Christian purposes?
Yeah, I'm not going to pretend by any stretch of the imagination to be an expert on rap or hip-hop.
We're very white.
I am extraordinarily white. And so this isn't something I'm speaking out of any broad range of experience. And so I don't want to present myself as any sort of expert here. My knowledge is at a distance.
Do you think in some ways that can almost be a positive and that we can evaluate it from a distance instead of being immersed in it?
It can be. I think that's very true in a variety of cultural issues. When you go to a foreign country, sometimes you see things more clearly than the people immersed in their own culture.
And others coming to America notice some negatives that we might not.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think that it is the case, though I would still say not. It's almost as though I'm critiquing the foreign country not having visited the foreign country.
Sure. So it is a disadvantage.
But I think it's a fair generalization. A fair generalization to say that hip-hop or rap has a reputation for an emphasis on violence or misogyny or drugs, glorification of alcohol, and particularly a very strong element of the ego of the rapper. Mm-hmm. that seems to be a core element, that you have the whole rap battle concept and that, or you have, you know, this rapper in a beef with this rapper and who is going to be able to put the other guy down and make himself look
I think
best.
Even those who are promoting the Reformed rap movement even admit that as a problem.
It comes with baggage.
Yeah.
And that's something we have to acknowledge coming into it is, it comes with the use of rap comes with some level of negativity attached to it. And even if we can point to, trying to be as fair as we can, you can probably, as a fan of hip hop, point to this guy or this guy or this guy as examples of people who have tried to have a positive message in their hip hop. I think in the main, it's probably a fair thing to say that the genre is dominated by certain messages that we would consider, however generously, to be irredeemably anti-Christian. Mm-hmm.
So if someone does admit that, say that, because I think even in that Mark Dever interview, Curtis Allen and Shai Lin, admitted that it certainly has, in the secular form, that negative baggage. If we take that for granted, if we admit that, what does it take then to move beyond that? What does it take to say, okay, yes, it does have negative baggage in our culture in the secular form. Yeah. Now we want to take that and use that for Christian purposes.
It seems to me that if we are going to use rap for Christian purposes, we have to assume, coming into the discussion, that the negative baggage attached to rap or attached to hip-hop is in no way intrinsic to the form itself.
Mm-hmm.
That the form itself really doesn't mean anything, or at the very least, what it means doesn't have any moral weight to one side or the other.
The baggage is merely conventional association.
So we have all of this negative baggage, if we acknowledge that, but it's the negative baggage is there because the form has been used a certain way.
Right, okay.
And so it's not that these things mean this, or that rap is intrinsically violent or intrinsically somehow related to drugs or whatever. Those are arbitrary connections because of the way it's been used.
So you hear a lot of people compare it to something like a gun. It's neutral in and of itself. How it's used then determines its morality.
Sure. And so that has to be there if we're going to use it for Christian purposes. And then I think the second, and flowing from that, the second major assumption is that because the form itself is not immoral, but that it has been used immorally, we as Christians then have an obligation to go in and express Christ's lordship over this form.
Yeah.
And this is the whole cultural redemption idea, which has a significant history, that the Kyprian, there is no inch over which Christ does not say, that's mine.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think there's a heart behind it that I can admire that says, hey, there is evil in this world. I recognize that this form has been used for evil. And if we're going to be Christians in the sense that we need to be and show that Christ is king over everything, we need to show that Christ is king over rap.
So it's an honorable desire to express the lordship of Christ over everything, including something that has been used for very sinful purposes.
I don't want to attack motive here. And in fact, I think we can say something laudable about motive. But that motive is only coherent if that governing assumption,
right,
that the form doesn't mean anything, is in fact the case.
Okay. Well, we're gonna do a series of podcasts on this and try to offer some answers to those. In this one, what I think we should do first is to answer the question: is if the Bible is our supreme authority over life and godliness and faith and practice. And we're deciding this issue is, does this medium communicate something intrinsically? Can we redeem it? What in the scriptures can we look to? Is there even anything in the Bible that speaks to this, this issue?
In terms of the sufficiency of scripture,
the
Bible doesn't say anything about rap.
Right.
So,
or even musical form per se, I think I would admit.
In large measure, right, it may give us some instrumental, here's a list of instruments.
More by example than by prescription.
Sure.
Yeah.
How do we argue for the sufficient, we're sola scriptura,
right,
we are heirs of the Reformation.
Right.
How do you defend sola scriptura and then want to say that it might have anything to do with rap?
Right. I think, wouldn't you say the classic passage is 2 Timothy 3,
sure,
16 and 17?
Sure.
All scripture is given by inspiration of God. That implies that every word is inspired by him, and that leads to then a position of its authority. Moving along then, it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And I think this is the key phrase, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished, or thoroughly equipped for all good works. The question is, what does that mean, thoroughly equipped? Does that mean that God has given us every single piece of explicit instruction that we need for every situation that we'll face, and if we don't face it, then if we face something the Bible doesn't explicitly address, then it doesn't matter? Or does it mean that no matter what we face, no matter what situation, no matter what culture, no matter what time period, the Bible does have something by way of principle, example, even prescription to say about our issues? And I think really those who say that if the Bible doesn't address something, then God doesn't care about it. I think that position is limiting the sufficiency of Scripture.
Yeah, I think so. And the way I would go with this, and the way I've tended to go, I think we have to admit, as you already did, there isn't a verse that talks about directly issues of form. Mm-hmm. You know, fundamentalists are famous for, you know, what has to predominate is melody.
Right.
And I don't have a good verse on that
right,
one.
Exactly.
In fact, I've got a DVD of Mstislav Rostropovich playing the Bach cello suites. And it's very interesting. I love the Bach cello suites.
Yeah.
And, you know, Bach is, you know, from a fundamentalist perspective,
the king.
Bach wrote all the music we really needed. You know, if we talk about the sufficiency of Scripture, Bach is almost the sufficiency of music.
Yeah.
But Rostropovich says in the prelude to the first cello suite, he says he gets irritated with the fact that when cellists try to make it more romantic and introduce a melody that's not there. There is no melody, he says, to that first cello suite.
Right.
And so,
in other words, arguments like that really just at the end of the day don't hold any water.
They don't hold up, and there isn't scriptural support for them. So let's go a different direction with this, and I think a more profitable direction. Scripture does, I would argue, address issues of form because Scripture itself is form.
Right, exactly.
Okay, so for instance, the Psalms in particular are themselves form. They are poetry. Right, that is an artistic expression, and so as poetry, not only do the propositions of the Book of Psalms say something, but they're formed a certain way to feel a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is always a challenge because interpreting art is notoriously difficult, and there are subjective elements to it.
Absolutely,
but I would argue, just like as theologians, we talk about a hermeneutical spiral, that doctrinally, we read Scripture through once and we learn some stuff, and what we learn as we come back and read Scripture again helps us to read Scripture the second time better than we read it the first
mm-hmm.
time. I think the same thing is true with issues of form and affections, that as I read the Book of Psalms, the second time, I have I'm better equipped to understand the feel of the Book of Psalms. That when I read Psalm 2 and it talks about God establishing his king and mocking his enemies and calling them to kiss the Son lest he be angry, but concluding with what you least expect, that blessed are those who take refuge in him.
Hmm.
Right? Here's a psalm of fear but of comfort. And I can't not think of Aslan who is not safe,
right.
But he is good.
Right, right.
Those are sorts of things that the form communicates something, and that if I'm going to represent God, then it is incumbent upon me to choose forms. Maybe I'm not saying I have to just say the psalm again,
right.
Either in proposition or in form,
right.
But I have to choose forms that say the same sort of thing about God that the forms in Scripture say.
Yeah.
You know, how does Paul talk about God? How does John represent God in the book of Revelation? And it's not just what they say, but it's how they
right.
say.
More than mere proposition.
Right.
Yeah.
And so they say something that lets us feel a certain way about God. And if that's true, if in the Bible form means things, I'm going to argue that outside the Bible, form means something.
Mm-hmm.
It means something.
Right.
And it means something likely, okay, independent of just associative meaning. But here's I'll throw this out even as a sideline. Even if the meaning is purely associative, we have to take it into account.
Sure. Yeah.
And so while I appreciate the heart behind the whole cultural redemption idea, form means something, whether it's associative or whether it's intrinsic, and I think we're going to go to that direction in another
right.
episode of this, it means something.
Yeah.
And Scripture is authoritative on issues of form, not by saying, here are all the forms that you can use, but in the forms that Scripture uses and in the what God is like-ness
mm-hmm.
of the Bible, It provides us the standard of how we have to present what God is like.
Yeah, so we have lots of examples in the Scripture that we can use as models, and I think what we're trying to do is to obey the command of Ephesians 4:29, don't let any corrupt communication proceed out of you, but that which is good to the use of edifying. Well, how do you know what is corrupt and what is edifying? Well, that's going to take some work. It's going to take some comparing the models of Scripture. It's going to take some parsing of meaning, and I think that's really our motivation behind this.
Yeah, to me, I go back and forth with this parallel between doctrine and form. Is we are very, very careful, rightly so, to say right doctrine about God. And I think you and I would both say we actually appreciate that largely about the Reformed Rap
right,
movement.
Right, absolutely, yeah.
Is you listen to Rap through the Book of Romans.
Right.
And it's just, this is unbelievable.
Yeah,
I mean,
right.
it's really kind of incredible,
yeah.
Right? And certainly with more meat and substance at times than some of the great old hymns of the faith
right.
that we would say aren't great old hymns of the faith.
Right.
And so we want to be clear and say the right things about God, and what I'm saying is, yeah, but we need to also say them in a way. We want to not only say the same things the Bible says, but we want to say them in the same sort of ways the Bible does.
Yeah, that's good.
And that means the Bible is authoritative for matters of form.
Okay. Well, good. Well, next in the next podcast, we'll discuss this issue of form and meaning a little more closely and try to apply these biblical models for us to this particular issue of Christian rap.